FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, November 11th, 2024, episode 21. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kweisenberg DFS, joined by Mike Randall at Randall Rant. Mike, how was your weekend?
Yeah, pretty good. Exciting NBA. Of course, some great stat lines we're going to get into. College hoops, all hardwood stuff, exactly. Feeling very acclimated. Thanksgiving is coming. That's when we really start diving in. So the palpable buzz is becoming a palpable scream right now for NBA, college, all hoops across the board.
Yeah, seemed like a great first week on the college hoop side of things here at FTN. I know I kept seeing posts about you, like, you're hitting three sides in a night, and you're hitting this spread bet over here. It looked like it was a fun time here to start the college season. Obviously, NBA rolling right along. For my fandom on the NFL side this weekend, Mike, Steelers, get the rookie to jump off sides to end the game. We will take that on the road. And my season-long team's doing pretty well, too. So I'm happy in the NFL world. Basketball world, we won't talk Spurs on this episode. I promised last week we would have some non-Spurs episodes. There's going to be one here today. But tough weekend down in South Central Texas for the Spurs.
For NFL, back-to-back and a belly-to-belly money line underdogs. Got Carolina last week when it was 13-1, favorites won, and that was the only one. And then this week your Steelers came through. Mike Williams down the sideline. I did a rant on it this morning on my ex account, Randall Rant. I said that's why. You don't just say you got to stay with Fields. You have to do this. You have to look deeper. And as we'll get into the NBA, teams are going to have to look deeper because there's some injuries across the board here that are driving people crazy. But the coaches know you have to stick with a player who's struggling. It's going to be my stock up. And you have to sometimes go against someone who may be playing well because you know it's the top of the market for them and their production. That's what makes great coaches and great teams stay great.
Shout out Coach Tomlin. Let's jump into the NBA news of the week. And we'll start at the top. We'll see if this continues to Thursday's episode when we get Pfeiffer back in the mix Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm
11-0 now, Mike. Two more wins over the weekend over the Pelicans and then the Warriors. Big time win. I mean, they set a franchise record, 83 points in the first half on Friday against the Warriors. They were up by 41 in just 24 minutes, Mike. This Cavs team, like, I think for me at least, we are past the is this real stage. I can't say anything else, but the Cavs are a contender in the East.
Yeah, a couple things I want to say here. First off, let's talk about Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, so Kenny Atkinson was with the Nets, and definitely I've seen him in a couple interviews where he said things such as, you know, maybe he needed to connect more with some of the stars like a Kevin Durant. Remember, Kevin Durant was hurt, and there was sort of a disconnect that I was hearing about in the local papers between them. Kenny Atkinson, I know, was in the mix for the Bucks job when they were moving forward a couple of years ago. Kenny Atkinson, very well respected, great X and O coach, seems like the absolute perfect fit. And if you saw Zach, I'm sure you did, his interview post game talking about one of the reporters, I thought it was you, because he's the only old person who could ask a question this good, about the cutting and the moving and how the game has evolved from screen and roll, Stockton Malone for all those years, to now cutting and moving and creating the vacuum behind the cut. They've taken advantage of it. The players then talked about it, how much they love it. It's working. The relationship between a coach and a star team is working, and it looks like this is what the Cavs have been dying for. We mentioned this last year. We're doing the previews. This is a team that I always thought should be a little better. They looked and they got to that point. They're off to a great start. I don't know how long it's going to last, but Kenny Atkinson, great job with the Cavs, doing so well.
Yeah, if you were to tell me 3 weeks ago that we'd be at this point of the season, again, still very early, but the Donovan Mitchell would be averaging more than 4 points less than what he did last season, just that one stat alone, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe the Cavaliers are struggling a little bit here. Mm-hmm. But my first thought would certainly not be undefeated through 11 games. So this team, again, to your point about Coach Atkinson, clearly he has had a profound positive effect on this team that is, for all intents and purposes, the same roster we just saw JB Bickerstaff. Again, got to the second round last year, but we know that this group, four all-star caliber players in their starting lineup, this group needs more than that. And so far, I mean, flying colors, 10 out of 10. How can you complain about anything here?
Six guys in double figures, and don't mistake that for, obviously, people will say, oh, they just have, you know, six players that are pretty good. You know they have a go-to player. You know they have a late-game shot maker. The development of Garland, who looks fully back right now. 1.2 steals per game. Mitchell, 1.3. Mobley, 1.1. Ty Jerome, 1.4. Two-way team, have a late game closer, have depth, roster depth, and a coach, and they're buying into the system. Create the vacuum, Zach. We could name that the podcast. Creating the vacuum. That's what the Cavs are doing. Great yeah. start for them. Well done.
Yeah, and we talked about after the first, like, you know, they were like 5-0. Right? Okay, they started out Toronto, Detroit, Washington. Okay, you're supposed to beat these teams. Since then, right, wins over the Knicks on the road, Lakers at home, Magic at home, Bucks home and away, Golden State at home. Like, they are beating some good teams here. This is not a hollow 11-0. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Of course, if they are still probably either way with Fife here on Thursday, we will talk again about the Cavaliers. Let's shift to the Western Conference because the Nuggets, the demise of Denver has been greatly exaggerated, Mike. Nikola Jokic last night goes for 37 points, 18 boards, 15 assists, and three steals. I believe it was three steals and not three blocks, but 13 of 21 from the field, 3 of 3 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. The Nuggets, winners of 5 in a row, including victories over the Thunder, the Heat, and yesterday over the Mavericks. They are now just one game back of the top seed in the West. Jokic averaging 30, 14, and 12 on Mike. 56, 56, 84. He's leading the league in rebounds and assists. Unsurprisingly, now the betting favorite for most valuable player at DK Sportsbook, plus 225. I mean, this guy, I don't know how he has gone to another level, but he certainly has.
Yeah, at the right time. No Aaron Gordon here for a couple weeks. Calf strain, so that's going to be an issue. Jamal Murray started to look like Jamal Murray again. 28 points against the Heat. Don't look now. Everyone's having injuries or issues, and they're having problems in all the teams. And look who's won 5 in a row. And look who's 7-3. And look who's a half game behind the Thunder. There you go. They're back. That's how good he is. Maybe you just had to get into shape or get going. Because it was a long off season. We know that through the Olympics, everything. But Jokic just dominating yet again in a game where you would think they would have lost, and they didn't. 7-3 now, looking great. One game back here of Oklahoma City in the Northwest Division.
Yeah, and you're getting contributions out of some of those guys that we were, even through the first like week and a half of the season, very skeptical on, right? Christian Brown, Mike, 55% from the field, 50 mm-hmm. from three, 16.3 points per game, 5.5 boards. Julian Strother has had some impressive performances off the bench. With Aaron Gordon out, you're getting our boy Hunter Tyson into this rotation. Again, very small role, but being able to fill, right? Things are not falling apart when some of these, you know, younger, less proven players get their turn in the rotation. And again, it all comes back to the three-time MVP. But man, like, he's on pace for his fourth. I know. So early, but this is just incredible. Anything else for you on Denver?
Yeah, if I told you in the Mavericks game that Kyrie and Doncic were going to combine for 67 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists, and 7 threes, there is no chance you think they're losing that game. But that's what happens when you go 37, 18, 15, and 3 steals. Brilliant performance by Jokic. Great job. And with all the parity and teams going up and down, don't look now. Here come the Nuggets. And imagine they get Gordon back. They get start getting, you know, the players continue to develop. This is a big, big win. They're hot. They're playing well.
Moving on here. Staying in the Western Conference, let's bring the mood down a little bit. Chet Holmgren goes out in Sunday's game, then reported later. Pelvic fracture. Out 8 to 12 weeks. And I guess let's start there. From what I can tell, from what I've read here this morning on Monday, there is next to no history with hip fractures in the NBA. There's like two or three along the way, but they were more, you know, secondary role type players where you didn't have a ton of information after the fact in terms of like, what's the recovery timeline? How good does this player, how long does it take this player to get back to where they were from an injury like this? So at least 2 to 3 months here without Chet Holmgren. We also need to keep in mind, Isaiah Hartenstein still has not debuted for this team. Jay Will, right? Jalen with a Y Williams. He's still out with the hamstring. So for at least another week or so, if not longer, because I think Hartenstein should be back at least by the end of the month, if not a little bit before then. But like, what are we going to do at center here? Is it going to be J-Dub? Are we going to see a lot more Ushman Jang? Like, there's certainly a lot of pieces for Coach Daigneault to mix and match here and try to make it work. And clearly Vegas doesn't see much of an issue yet because they're 7-point home favorites on Monday against the visiting Clippers. But just disastrous here for a team that, again, tied for tops in the West, has been looking great. And we've been looking ahead to Hartenstein coming back in, to giving them that extra chess piece to mix and match and go bigger and take some of the load off of Holmgren. This is just supremely disappointing, even from a third party perspective, not a Thunder fan. Like, you love watching basketball is just better with Chet Holmgren active for this Thunder team. So what's your thoughts here on the recent injury for Chet Holmgren?
Yeah, just look at the roster. This is the one player they really couldn't lose for a substantial period of time. Not that SGA isn't great. It's just there's other options. Who's the option here? Dort, Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, Mitchell, Jiang, Caruso. There's nobody. This is a problem. They need Hartenstein back. That line is crazy. I get it. And sometimes a player goes out, everybody steps up. They're going to struggle on the boards. They're going to need a hot shooting night, 8 to 12 weeks. That sounds more like 12 to me than 8. It's a problem. They just don't have depth. They don't have a Joval. They don't have somebody that can stay on. Anybody that can stick in the middle. This is going to be a huge, huge challenge for them. Is Lu Dort playing power forward? I mean, I don't know what to do here. This is going to be a big, big challenge. He comes back. Hartenstein comes back. They'll be fine. But they need him. This was a player that they really couldn't afford to lose.
And you think back to, right, the last couple of years, the ascension of this Thunder team, right? The signs were always there, but Chet missed his rookie season with the lower body injury. And then when he came back, or made his debut rather, last season, that's when we saw the jump. So did SGA, right, get even better last season? Yes. Did J-Dub make a huge leap last year? Yes, he did. But Chet was the catalyst for this team winning the one seed in the Western Conference last year after being a team that missed the play-in, or I think was in the play-in, the year prior. And so now do we, you know, kind of jump back a little bit, maybe more like 4-5-ish with no Chet? To your point, Hartenstein going to play such a pivotal role here. I don't think they're going to drop down so precipitously, but it's just, again, that the ceiling is, I guess I won't say gone, but it feels much more, it's just much tougher for them to attain that ceiling outcome without Chet. And I just have my fingers crossed that 2 to 3 months is the actual timeline and that he can recover fully before we get into the stretch run here, because if they don't have Chet and it's just Hartenstein, I'm sorry, man. I would not consider them a serious threat for the NBA title.
Yeah. They need Hartenstein back badly, and he can do it. Cause with the Knicks, with Tibbs, you know, he was playing major minutes, no problem. Yep. Right. He wasn't in foul trouble, so they can weather the storm, but they need him back as soon as possible.
So Chet gives us a message here from his hospital bed. He said, "Can't tell if I feel better or worse about this having been through something similar before," right? Referencing his rookie year injury. "On one hand, I know how to approach it. I know what to do, what not to do, and how beautiful the other side is. But on the other hand, I felt the frustration of this process and the wear it puts on your mind. Most of all, I'm hurt that I can't help my teammates and play for our fans and supporters for a while. Everyone who sticks with me and our team, along with my need for hoops, is a big part of my passion to return. Don't pity me or feel bad. There's lots of people out there with real problems that don't heal. Anyways, excuse my rambling. Just wanted to address our OKC fans and family." So I thought, man, I thought there was a really kind of revealing and personable message from Chet, and it makes me like him even more than I already do.
Yeah, great guy. And I wasn't sure about him coming out of college, but really developed his game and starred in the playoffs last year. That's the right mindset. That quote is a window into the type of player he is. He'll be back. They'll be fine. They're going to be healthy for the playoffs. They're going to be an absolute pain. Even if they fall off to like a 6 seed, 7 seed, no one's going to want to play them. They can get it going. They saw Dallas come and beat them with their home court advantage. They can do it, certainly, no problem.
Yeah, that's almost worse maybe for the other teams at the top of the West, or who you think will be at the top of the West, because we saw that a couple times over the last few years, maybe mainly in the Eastern Conference, right? The Knicks last year, all of a sudden you catch the Sixers in the first round with Joel Embiid. Can you imagine being the Nuggets, right? You scrap and claw through all the injuries, the shorthanded nature of the rotation. They get a top 3 seed. All of a sudden you got to play the Thunder in the first round. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope we see Chet back you know, closer to that 8-week timeline, that would be feel like a big win, I think, for basketball at this point. Let's pick it back up a little bit here, Mike. Scottie Pippen Jr. records his first career triple-double at the NBA level, 10 points, 11 boards, 10 assists against the Wizards on Friday. Not much to say here outside of congrats to Scottie, and he continues to up his play and kind of almost fill that like Tyus Jones-esque role for this current iteration of the Grizzlies roster. He also becomes he and his father, Scottie Sr., of course, first father-son duo to both record a triple-double in the NBA. Again, as a former like two-way player, to be doing this at the NBA level, it's not just this, you know, 10-11-10 triple-double. It's a little, feels a little bit cheap, but Scottie Jr. has been fantastic for over a season now in the role that he's played. And now in this elevated role, Smart out, Bane out, John Morant out, we're really seeing him flourish. So I love to see this. Congrats to Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah, this is good timing for them. For a team that we were worried about the depth because of injuries, G.G. Jackson, players like that, now they're decimated, but they've won three in a row. They got the game against the Lakers where Morant was hurt, came out, had the 20 points, but they won going away. Why? They were 17 of 34 from three-point range, and these are the type of players they're going to have to continue to contribute for them. Jay Huff, 11 points, 3 of 6 from 3. Jake LaRavia always plays big minutes and has to do a lot of stuffing of the box score. He was 13-8 in that game against the Lakers. And Scottie Pippen Jr., 14, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 threes as well. So on the bench there, you're accounted for 8 of those three-pointers. That's what they're going to need until they get the players back. Impressive. And they hit two teams at the right time in Portland. I think it was Detroit, where they could get a little streak going. John Morant on crutches. I'm a little worried. He's got to get bigger. He's got to get stronger, Zach. I'm sick of being frustrated with John Morant's injuries. He plays so much above the rim with so much explosiveness. You saw the reverse layup in the game, middle of the game the other day. They compared it to Jordan, things like that. Yep. But he's got to stay on the floor, and it's killing them. So no Bane, no Smart. Injuries across the board. We need him back. Jaren Jackson's going to have to step up as well. But the depth is here for the Grizzlies. Unlike Oklahoma City, they do have players who can fill these roles. And Scottie Pippen Jr. has been lights out.
I can't believe that we are here already with the Grizzlies. Like we talked about it in early September when G.G. Jackson broke his foot. We were all hyped about the Grizzlies, and we still were, and I think still are, but we got to get back healthy. We were worried when G.G. goes down, like, don't start with this, man. Don't start with us, Memphis. And GG goes down and Vince Williams goes down and now Smart and Triple J was slow coming back at the start of the season and Bane and Morant. Oh, it's just tough right now. But credit to Coach Jenkins, credit to the depth of this team, the guys who are stepping up like Scottie Pippen, like LaRavia, all those that you mentioned. Memphis 7-4, just a game and a half back from the top seed in the West. Plus 9.4 point differential so far through their first 11 games. They're making the most of it, Mike.
Certainly are. And this is the way that you're going to battle through the season. They have guards. They have big men. They have wing players who can come in and get minutes. And you need player like Wells, Zach Edey with the foul trouble we talked about. But that, you know, he's staring down Joe Val the other day in the game. Those are the players that need to step up. And if this team gets Morant and Bane and everyone else back healthy, they're going to be better for it. Grizzlies, as much as we worried, it ended up having, Zach, more depth than we realized, and one of the few teams in the NBA that can probably weather the storm with their players being out.
Yeah, it's a good point. Let's close out the news of the week here. Again, on a high note, this morning on Monday, we've been waiting for this out of Detroit. Auser Thompson has been cleared by the league to return to play. Of course, the issue with blood clots last season that shut him down for the final 6 weeks or so in his rookie year. We've been waiting for him to be cleared by the board here in the league, and he is now active, ready to return. Pistons still going to give him some time to ramp up to, you know, game speed type of conditioning. So I think we see him active maybe a week, certainly 2 weeks from now. I would expect to see Auser Thompson available here for the Pistons. My question is, how does he fit into this wing rotation? Because, right, we've got the Pistons running big minutes for Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, rookie Ron Holland, fifth overall pick. He's in the rotation. Simone Fontecchio in the rotation. So I guess, who do you think? Does somebody fall out of this rotation? Do we just kind of pull minutes from that whole group of guys? I guess on the surface, right? it's just great news that Auser Thompson, we see Amon and what he's doing down there in Houston. I'm personally a fan of these two. I think they're going to be mainstays in the league for a while. Their athleticism is off the charts. Kind of two-way players, right? We saw Amon Thompson, his brother, playing all five positions last year for Houston. I think also out from under the Monty Williams regime, where he's sticking Auser in the corner, 18% from three last year. Like, hopefully we can get him doing some more productive actions on offense because we know what he brings athletically on the boards and defensively. So Auser Thompson back, what do you got?
Yeah, a critical here for Auser Thompson coming back. What I love about the Pistons is that they are surprising us in terms of how competitive they are. Cade Cunningham, three straight double-doubles. What do you have, two all of last year? I think I read something like that. So the leadership with Tobias Harris, Jaden Ivey, these sort of players are actually working well together, and they've surprised me in terms of how quick they've come around. So he is a role player. I think he's fine in terms of fitting in with the team, and he doesn't have to have the ball. I have a stock down that I'm going to add later on. It's going to make you laugh from the Overtime Elite video. But that he's going to be fine. This team is competing, and Cade Cunningham is evolving into more than just a scorer here. So night in, night out, the Pistons are getting very frisky. I think he's the perfect addition. This is a deep bench. Another one of Fontecchio, another one of these teams that's a little sneaky deep that allows them to have different pieces and to overcome when a guy like Thompson is out.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I will take that opportunity, right? You bring up Cade Cunningham. Shout out to the GPP scores here on the DFS side of things at FTN Fantasy. Cade Cunningham has been top three in the GPP scores in each of the previous three slates he has been on. Like Mike said, triple doubles in all three. So it's been fun to ride that Cade Cunningham wave, right? And like 4-7 so far on the young season. How long did we have to wait for one win last year, right? They had almost set the record. If they didn't set the losses record for a losing streak, like it's been kind of fun to watch this team start to find an identity, right? And it starts with the new coach. It starts with bringing in those veteran players on the wing. Simone Fontecchio seems like the guy to me that could be ripe to lose some minutes here because he has, to me, and I've only watched like a game and a half of Pistons so far, but like he has not really exceeded expectations. And for me, where he is in his career, what he means to this Detroit franchise compared to what they have invested in Auser Thompson, I could see Auser Thompson pulling a lot of his minutes. Maybe you get Tim Hardaway Jr. down under that 31-minute mark where he is right now. And maybe Ron Holland just completely, they send him to the G League, right? And you give Thompson all of those minutes. I imagine Thompson himself might play a G League game or certainly go down and practice with those guys in Motor City before he makes his first team debut here this season. But it's just a great sign, man. Like, this is something that we thought was going to happen in the preseason in terms of him being cleared and to finally be back on the court after something so scary as a blood clot issue keeping you off the court. It's just great news. I love to see it.
Especially for a player who gave up so much of their youth dedicated to getting to the league. Don't look now, the Pistons are the 10th seed as of today in the East. Yeah. Couldn't say that at this point last year.
Yeah, and 10 seed, right? You look, the 5 seed is the Knicks at 4-5. So it's really like you've got the S tier at the top with Cleveland 11-0, Boston 9-2. The 3 seed is 5-5. So again, like you think about how Cleveland's been playing, how Boston has been playing, and how we expect them to continue to play. I'm not sure if the rest of the East, we may have this two-team race for the rest of the year in the East, unless something crazy happens with injuries or what have you. Let's talk about games we are eyeing, games that we want to watch from a basketball standpoint early this week, just five games here on Monday. And all five of these games tonight, Mike, tip off at 8 p.m. Eastern. So it's going to be a quad box type of night for me. Of course, my Spurs play, so they get one of those boxes. But Cleveland at Chicago. I'm watching the Cavs throughout this entire stretch. Until they lose, to me, this is just must-watch basketball, no matter who they're playing, right? Then we also have Clippers at the Thunder. No Chet Holmgren. James Harden back in town here in Oklahoma City. 7-point spread in that one, but I think my interest level in my head says that it's a closer spread than that because I think this was going to be a fun game to watch.
Usually when there's an injury, I always end up going with that team because I see there's betting value. I don't see it tonight. I don't. I see the Clippers playing very well, and I think Oklahoma City probably get off to a good start in your first quarter, but then this game ends up tight late. And I'm with you. The Cavaliers are must-watch TV right now until they lose. So can't wait for that one. How are they going to do against the Bulls? You want to see what positions, how they do against different positions on the court, whether they have a weakness, just to scout for the future. But Cavs are must-watch TV until they lose, 100%.
Yeah, Clippers, winners of four straight, 6-4, just two games back of that top seed in the West. The West, the polar opposite here. Three teams at 8-2. You go all the way down. The 9 seed, just two games back, 6-4, the Sacramento Kings. Looking ahead to Tuesday's slate, 8 games. The one that jumps off the page right away, Knicks at Sixers. The season debut of Joel Embiid scheduled for Tuesday night. But, of course, Tyrese Maxey out injured. We discussed that on the last episode of the Fast Break, but you've got two of the big three here for Philly and the Knicks coming to town. I believe that is the first game of our TNT doubleheader on Tuesday night. Late night hammer there. Dallas at Golden State. Golden State, a team that 8-2. We'll talk about them here in a little bit and stock up, stock down, but Mavs, Warriors, that should be a great late night watch as well. So I think of these three slates we're coming up on here early in the week, the Tuesday one is the one I'm most pumped up for. What do you got on those two games? Or do you have anything else to add on that Tuesday slate?
The Knicks, I expect to pummel the Sixers. The loss of Maxey, Embiid staying out. This could get, they're 2-7 right now, Zach. This could get south very quickly where they could be in a rough situation. I know what Embiid had and with he wanted to rest and things like that. It's been a terrible start. It's got to be driving Nick Nurse crazy. Dallas, Golden State, excellent as well. One of my favorite props. I'll put it out there. I always tell them Discord's 3-1 this year. Stephen Curry over rebounds. He has the knack for finding where the shots get off the rim. Last year, he was about a rebound per game less because of the presence of Chris Paul, another smart perimeter player who's cutting into some of those boards. He's back to where he is normally again. I expect this to be a great game with Dallas and Golden State. But yeah, I expect to pummel the Sixers. They're excited. There's blood in the water there. This Sixers team could easily end up being 4-12, 4-13 before we even look.
Wednesday night, larger slate, but not a ton to love, I think, from just a you know, quality of hoops standpoint here. So maybe Wednesday night, maybe you turn on some of those college games too, but we've got undefeated, maybe still undefeated Cleveland at Philadelphia that night. You know you're not going to have Joel Embiid on the other side, so that's why I stopped short of calling that a must watch. I'll tune in just for the undefeated Cavs part of it, but I'm eyeing Phoenix at Sacramento late night on Wednesday. These two teams just went to overtime last night, hotly contested. The Kings come out on top. Of course, Phoenix now going to be without Kevin Durant for an extended period of time. That's another injury that we haven't mentioned until this part of the podcast. Tough break. Again, like the injuries continue to pile up. I asked like 2 weeks ago, stop the injuries, turn the slider off, right, in our settings. And, you know, the basketball gods have not responded in kind, but I'm looking forward to that Suns-Kings rematch 3 days after an overtime game on Sunday night.
Yeah, snap the Suns' 7-game winning streak. No Durant, and a preview of my stock up here. The Kings, I think, are coming. I think they're going to figure it out and start getting better. Just too many options for them on offense. So that's a game that I want to see because I think Budenholzer is doing an excellent job with Phoenix. I think it just got to a situation with Milwaukee where they had to go in a different direction, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a really good coach in a new situation. They are buying what's going on there. So rooting for my Kings, of course, but very focused. The other one I want to talk about, I'm kind of interested in the Rockets. They've won 3 of the last 4. They're far exceeding expectations. Every time they play, there's a close game. I'm interested. Am I buying this team yet? I'm not sure, Zach. Maybe next week I will, but 3 out of 4, going to watch them as well.
Yeah, Houston 6-4, kind of in that group. 5 teams in the West, 6-4, Lakers, Rockets, Wolves, Clippers, and Kings. Nothing separating those teams so far. Let's close out today's episode with our stock up, stock down. We'll start with stock down. What do you got this week, Mike?
Yeah, I got 2 things. First off, can we stop criticizing players when they give unadulterated opinions? Ja Morant telling you how much he hates the Lakers. Great, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to like everyone. Please, I love seeing unfettered anger. I go back to Bird and Magic in the 80s. I want to see players hate each other and hate their teams. It makes it more fun. And the other one, Zach, I want to bring up is I don't know if you saw this whole thing with the Clemson basketball team this weekend with the airplane. Oh, my goodness. I apologize. For the whole Auburn team. Auburn flies out to play Houston, not on campus, but at Houston. The plane turns around as soon as it starts because there is a fight between two players on the Auburn team. The pilot refused to go forward. I'm putting a bow on this. Why does this tie into the NBA? Because when my wife and I started watching the Overtime Elite specials last year, we saw the Thompson brothers from a couple of years ago and a kid named Ja'Kai Howard. And Ja'Kai Howard was always mad that the Thompson brothers wouldn't pass him the ball. Anyway, Thompson twins go to the NBA. Ja'Kai stars last year in Overtime Elite. He's the man. He can get the ball. There is a video circulating of their game against Vermont last week where Miles Kelly for the Tigers is on absolute fire from three. It's 50-28. The whole place is rocking except for Ja'Kai Howard. He's standing in the corner, exasperated he doesn't get the ball, hands on his side, pouting. It's obvious. The SEC put the video out to celebrate Miles Kelly, and someone noticed that Ja'Kai Howard in the upper corner was miserable the whole game. Well, who do you think was one of the players involved in the fight on the plane? It was Ja'Kai Howard. He had to sit home. And oh, by the way, Auburn upset Houston. So these guys that go to Overtime Elite or go to the G League or do that, you have to be emotionally ready. And hopefully Ja'Kai can get it better, but it's not looking good because he wasn't great with the Thompson twins, who obviously were the best players in the whole program and deserved to be there. And he was terrible in the Auburn game as a freshman when they're rolling, hitting three after three. So stock down Ja'Kai Howard.
Yeah, hopefully Howard can get things right with his mental game there. Because I think, right, that the talent is not really in question, but you also have to have that emotional side in check. So it seems like maybe even Auburn a little addition by subtraction by leaving him home against Houston, getting the win there on the road.
Zach, you've coached, you played. How bad can the fight be? Once there's a fight in practice, you have 10 guys jumping in to separate it. It cools down immediately. Yeah. How bad does a flight have to be 20,000 feet in the air as they're ascending to make the pilot turn the plane around? It's just crazy stuff. But Ja'Kai, Thompson twins know him well, and unfortunately his reputation is back to where it was. So I had to add in a big stock down on that one.
Well, my stock down here on episode 21 is the Pelicans, and it's really – no fault of their own. They've just been hit. Like we talk about the Memphis injury bug. The Pelicans might have it worse because, Mike, they do not have the depth behind these guys to keep things afloat. 3-7, losers of four straight. We know DeJounte Murray, right? Injured the hand in the opener late in that game. We knew he's going to be out. But Zion now out for an extended period of time. Stop me if you've heard that before. Jordan Hawkins out. CJ McCollum out. Right, this is a team. Herb Jones out. They do get Trey Murphy III back tonight, coming back from the hamstring injury that he had in the preseason. But this team, you're missing, what, five of your top seven guys here? There's just really, at this moment, no hope for the Pelicans. This is the team that when we talked about our hot takes in the preseason, I was all rah-rah, Pelicans gonna win the Southwestern Division. Now the challenge is try to stay out of the cellar in that division. Mike, I wasn't going to bring up the Spurs, but I'm using them as a reference point because the Spurs have not been good. Pelicans a game behind them. Things are falling apart and fast for New Orleans. Hopefully they can get healthy sooner rather than later and turn this thing around, because this is a team that should be fighting for a top six spot, not be in the bottom four of the West.
The reason I was fading Zion coming out of college and I said Ja Morant was a better pick, and then I went off the rocker and said PJ Washington, who you'd rather have right now because he's on the floor,
right,
is that
been injured too, Mike.
Right, a little bit, but like at least all of them, but at least they were having their moments. The problem with Zion as the center of this team is his entire game is based on that explosiveness from a relatively undersized position for a player who doesn't shoot threes well. At some point, and he's been in the league 5 years now, that athleticism is either going to wear his body down or he's going to have to adjust his game in other ways. And he doesn't know how to adjust. It's bull in the china shop, rebound, aggression, explosion. That's not going to happen. You've seen Kobe have to adjust. You've seen all the greats have to adjust. He is struggling. This guy has played 24 games his rookie year, then 61, then 29, then 70. Now only six, going to be out for a while. That is the center of their team. The other injuries have been bad luck. Struggling, the Pelicans right now. And I remember the video where everybody was cheering and he sold a lot of tickets, and I get it. It's just for sustained success. I did not see his archetype sustaining that in the NBA. He has his moments, but does he have the work ethic? There's always been the side jokes and things like that. So not only is he stocked down, but these injury, well, a lot of which is bad luck, is permeating the entire Pelicans team, which was uber talented coming into this year.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can get back healthy and, you know, maybe get up into that play-in range. Certainly feels like a top six spot could be slipping through their fingers with how talented this Western Conference is. Let's finish it off. Stock up here. What do you got stock up on episode 21?
Yeah, the Kings are 6-4. They're tied with the Clippers and Lakers, sort of the back end here of the Pacific Division. I think they're going to get going. I like this team. I like De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, DeRozan. Took a while for DeRozan to get acclimated because he's primarily a scorer, but I think they're getting there. They've won. They've been six. They started 6-4, won their last game. They're 4-2 away, so they've been competitive on the road. I like this Kings team to get going. I expect them to move up here in the Pacific Division. Right now, they're the 9 seed. I expect them to finish like 5-6, somewhere in there. That's where they should be. This is a good team. This is a good team. They had a nice run in the playoffs the last couple of years. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be into it. I think this is the start of something big in Sacramento. So stock up for the Kings.
Similar stock up for me here, just going to a different Western Conference team, or really their coach. Give me stock up Steve Kerr, Mike, because much has been made, right? Whether it was, you know, kind of last season as the Warriors' talent starts to wane from their championship window. Then we go into the summer, we go to the Olympic tournament, and there's plenty of criticism about how Steve Kerr handled his rotations throughout the group stage and then the knockout rounds, ultimately winning the gold medal. But now we're here, Golden State retooled, rebuilt, Buddy Hield, slow-mo Kyle Anderson. De'Anthony Melton makes his start. Now Steve Kerr saying that he wants that to be the starting unit going forward. They're 8-2. This team has an identity. They are dogs on defense. They know who their hub is on offense. You're starting everything with Draymond and Steph, and everybody's playing off of them. And then, right, he's not a splash brother, but he's a splash buddy. Buddy Hield has been fantastic, and Steve Kerr is making all of this work. He's making the magic happen once again in the Bay. 8-2, tied for first place in the Western Conference. Wins on the road over Houston, Boston, and Oklahoma City. Look, I will give them a pass for getting their butts beat at Cleveland. You bounce back and beat the Thunder on the road the next game. Full-on pass from me there. 8-2, stock up Steve Kerr. I think he's a pretty good coach, Mike. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a darn good coach. He's got a good run coming up now. Dallas, Memphis, Clippers, Atlanta, New Orleans. So it's going to be a good run. We'll get to see it. And one more game this year at home against the Celtics. Must watch with Jason Tatum, of course.
Absolutely. Anything else for you, Mike, on episode 21 before we shut it down?
That's pretty much it. Let's get rolling. Want to see some good games this week, see players step up into roles, see the vacuum that continues with the Cavs. Good stuff across the board.
NBA Cup starts on Tuesday, so those tournament games, you know, alternate jerseys, alternate courts. I'm a big fan of this tournament. We'll be talking a lot about it here in the episodes to come. Maybe we'll break it down, Fife and I, on Thursday's episode as we get into the meat and potatoes of the group stage. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Thursday for another episode of the FTM Fast Break Podcast. Till then, he's Mike, and I'm Zach. Goodbye. Thank you.